Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Speaking of golf, your chance to win the MVP golf card. It is the 9 o'clock hour prize just for listening, and Ryan makes it very, very easy to win.
Oh, y'all know I like to keep it simple on you. All you have to do is listen. Listen for this.
What?
That's right. When you
what are
they
listening
that,
for?
Denny saying,
what?
Terrible Denny Matthews impression. Listen for this.
What?
There you go. Next time you hear that, be caller number.
Let's go caller number 13.
13. Lucky number 13. Next time you hear Denny say what, caller number 13, I'll hook you up with an MVP golf card. 913-576-7610-7610. I'll be looking for a 10 on your keypad. It's not there.
The MVP golf card, you can save big on rounds of golf in the Metro. Adams Point, Heart of America Golf Academy, Swart Memorial, Minor Park, Sycamore Ridge. Just $99 gets you two rounds on each of five of your favorite courses. You can get yours now at MVPGolfKC.com. We're talking Baker Mayfield. He did shoot his shot, which was a big for him as well. Shot his shot and should be credited for that. We'll discuss in a couple minutes.
Yeah, big news. Drew Locke has signed his contract with the Denver Broncos.
So yesterday, the Broncos were reporting they start training camp early because
they're playing in the Hall of Fame game.
They kick off their camp early. So guys are reporting. Guys are speaking. The coach is speaking. John Elway is speaking. At that point in time, they're like, well, we hope Drew Locke's here. Their first practice was today. And then late in the day yesterday was, oh, they've agreed to terms on a four-year deal.
Right.
So his holdout was not, in fact, a holdout because he's there on time.
Mm-hmm.
And all is well, I guess. He and Dalton Reisner both signing their contracts late.
Right.
The back-to-back picks in the second round for the Broncos, former K-Stater and the former Mizzou player, a couple of the lone remaining holdouts, second rounders, but they got it done in time for camp.
You know what's interesting is that Dalton Reisner was picked before Drew Locke, and we talked about that the other day. And here's how the Broncos phrase it. Quarterback Drew Locke signed his rookie contract on Thursday. The team announced it's a big picture of Drew Locke, Steve Atwater jersey. He's at a desk with a Broncos helmet, you know, one of those, you know, good shots. The Broncos now have all six of their 2019 draft picks signed. Offensive lineman Dalton Reisner signed his deal on Tuesday. The Broncos report to training camp Wednesday, and the first practice is scheduled for Thursday morning. No picture of Dalton signing his contract or anything like that. No news release. He's just like a footnote because
Maybe that was the negotiation part of it.
It could have been, yeah.
I know I was drafted behind the guy, but let's do the whole picture of the whole nine. So
right.
They got Locke in camp on time. So I guess that drama is indeed over for Denver. Maybe, unfortunately, maybe it didn't carry over long enough. But they're in camp today. Of course, the Chiefs report next Tuesday with rookies and quarterbacks and the rest of the team a week from Friday. First open practice to the public will be coming up a week from Saturday, then on July the 27th up in St. Joe. And, of course, we'll have full coverage of camp right here on 610 Sports Radio. We're talking Baker Mayfield. To his credit, his brashness, his cockiness did work out in his personal life.
It really did, right?
As he is now married to Emily Wilkinson, mm-hmm. very attractive young lady.
Fetching.
Who he apparently got her attention by following and unfollowing her on Instagram.
So he harassed her online.
That's right. Very millennial.
Very millennial way to go about it.
Unfollow, follow.
They were introduced by a mutual friend. He tells ESPN, at the time, Wilkinson was living in Los Angeles. She says she was very wary of dating, quote, a punk football player,
mm-hmm.
and ignored Mayfield's advances for months. He repeatedly followed and unfollowed her on Instagram, trying to attract her attention. Finally, in late December, they exchanged messages. He begged her to meet him before the Rose Bowl, his final college football game. She reluctantly agreed to grab lunch.
And now they're married.
And the rest is history.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool story.
They do say things move very quickly after that long-awaited first date. They were living together along with Wilkinson's brothers within a week.
Right.
What?
And engaged within 6 months.
So yeah. Let me get this straight. Baker moved in with his then girlfriend and her brothers.
Brothers,
a
plural.
A week after
they keep
first
an eye
meeting.
On, yeah. on him. Maybe not the worst thing for her, but within a week.
I got a lot of unanswered.
Who's moving in with somebody after a week?
That's a little fast.
I mean, I've known that to be the case. I've never known someone to be like, I want to live with you. Oh, and by the way, your siblings, they can come.
Now, unless he moved out to L.A. to start training for the draft or something like that, needed a place to crash, so he just crashed at her joint, you know, while she was, you know, still living there out in Los Angeles. Maybe that's how ultimately that worked out. She was out there living in L.A. with her two brothers because she's originally from Nebraska. I don't remember Baker ever moving to Nebraska and living up there. So he probably just spent some time out there while he was training to get ready for the draft. A lot of guys go out to Phoenix and Los Angeles to train and to get ready for the NFL draft. That's where they have a lot of facilities and the agents are based out there, the whole nine yards. So maybe that was the case with Baker Mayfield.
So Emily Wilkinson, American internet celebrity.
Right. How was your first date like with your wife? Was it Instagrammable?
No. No, I mean, we were introduced by a mutual friend. We'd hung out in groups and then yeah. It was kind of like, hey, should we go out? And we went out, and I remember the place we went to because it was a pizza joint.
Mm-hmm.
We had a very nice night out, and we joked about it later that we had a really nice conversation. We were talking. It was really going well, and then we got the box to go, and I put it under my chair because we were talking. You know, it was like a small two-person table.
Sure.
We were talking, interacting. It was a very – and then I left.
You left the pizza.
I left the pizza, and she still joked about that. She's like, you left your leftovers there, huh?
Why did you get the leftovers and not her, though?
I don't even think we decided. It was. I remember there was leftovers, there was a box, and I took the box, and I put it under my chair.
Gotcha.
And then walked out of the restaurant.
Yeah, you forgot the leftovers.
Yeah, we always joked about it. Every time I went there, like, remember your leftovers.
So you knew your wife before you started dating
yeah.
your wife.
So we'd gone back there, you know, subsequently, and that was always the running joke, like, don't forget the leftovers.
Right.
The first time we went on a date, we forgot our pizza.
Yeah, my wife always tells the story about meeting me for the first time. Like 6 months prior, a mutual friend of ours tried to set us up, and my wife did not find me attractive at all, which, you know, I don't blame her. And then like 6 months later, my friend...
You take a little getting used to.
I do, yeah.
Yeah, it's documented.
My friend brought her over to the house. She says, I'm going out with, you know, Bob and some of his friends tonight. Why don't you come over? And Jen's like, she goes, you got nothing else to do, which was true. My wife had nothing to do in her life until she met me. And then so she was finally blessed to have met me. And I remember coming home from a KU game.
You wonder why she was apprehensive.
I know, mm-hmm. right? I remember coming home from it was a KU basketball game, and I was, you know, I was a little tipsy, and I walked in, and I remember her standing there, and she was wearing a skirt, and I remember seeing her legs. And I'm like, oh, that's got some potential, I guess. I don't know. And we went to Tom Foolery's on the plaza and had kind of our first, like, you know, I don't even know if you call it a date or anything like that, but our first, you know, kind of time out together was there. And then our first date was a couple of days later at, was it Brio on the plaza, right?
Oh, that's fancy.
And I still have the sweater
I wore.
Two
plaza dates, huh?
And I still have, well, Tom Foolery's isn't there anymore. And when you're living in Waldo, you know, like at that time, there weren't, unless you were going to Bobby Baker's, there really wasn't much of an option.
Classy joint out there.
And which we went to Bobby Baker's every Friday night. But after we went to that date to Brio on the plaza, I was going off to cover the Super Bowl in Detroit. And she didn't really understand what this whole medium was about. And she kind of got like upset, I think, because I had like Hooters girls on the show that week. She's like, oh, I don't know what's going on here. And it really wasn't like a thing. We'd gone out on a date. And then Valentine's Day rolls around. I called her like 3 o'clock on Valentine's Day because like I started dating around like January 20th or something like that. Like, it's Valentine's. What am I supposed to, you know, is this like a thing?
Are we in that window right. where I need to do Valentine's Day?
Do I need to do Valentine's Day? So I waited like 3 o'clock on Valentine's Day.
Get her that Pepperidge Farm gift pack.
And I sent her a message. Would you like to go out to dinner tonight? And she responded yes. And I told her this day, if you didn't respond to me, I never would have called you again. And so it's a good thing for her sake that she responded
yeah,
to me.
She got lucky when she
did.
Met you. Is what
she really did. Very lucky.
Saved her life. Had she worn jeans that night and not a skirt, you probably would have just been like, meh, and your two daughters would have never happened.
Probably not.
They'd been like Marty McFly, and they would have faded away from the picture.
Yes.
And Billy Coon's really upset she said yes.
Yeah.
Because maybe.
Maybe he would have had a chance. That's
interesting.
Right. What about you? What was your first date like?
We went to Fox and Hound. With a bunch of people.
On Metcalf?
No, this was in Independence, back when Independence used to have a Fox and Hound.
Pool tables there, too.
And there was a bunch of people from work. I met my wife when we were working together, and there were a bunch of people from work, and there was a guy that really liked her, and he kept asking me for advice on how to pick her up. And so I was
with
giving
two
him
hands.
Yeah, well, I was giving him, like, really terrible advice.
Right.
And he it's just like never connected. Ironically
don't blow
enough,
in her ear.
Ironically enough, his name was Ryan as well. Yeah, that entire night she just kept telling me she was creeped out because this guy was like rubbing on her thigh and the entire time.
Tell her to do that?
Yeah.
Tell him to do that?
I was like, just rub on her thigh and see how it works. But he just kept rubbing on her thigh all night and she was really creeped out by him. And the entire time she just wanted me to talk to her. We had to go pick up a friend. We left. We started driving to go pick up a friend and the rest is history.
There you go.
She finally got it off her chest.
So none of us met by harassing him on the Instagram.
No. Well, I met my wife the good old fashioned way. Yeah.
At a bar? At a bar.
Yeah.
Telling
another guy how to pick her up terribly. Yes.
Gabe and Casey Moe, your winner of the MVP golf card. That was our 9 o'clock hour prize just for listening. They may be on to something or completely not on to something. Next.
Fesco in the morning.
Second annual Rivalry Renewed is coming up on July 28th, Silverstein Ice Centers Arena. Black and gold MU alums take on Fogs boys, the KU alums. The second annual matchup to benefit the Boys and Girls Club of Greater Kansas City. Again, Sunday, July 28th. Ticket information at 610sports.com. The KU squad will have Brandon Rush, Mario Chalmers, Drew Gooden, and more. Mizzou squad with Kareem Rush, Thomas Gardner, Ricky Paulding, Albert White, Arthur Johnson, and more. Again, tickets on sale now at 610sports.com. You can get the link to general admission and VIP ticket packages. And the VIP player party will be the night before, July 27th at Repeal 18th from 6 to 10 p.m. The VIP ticket packages include your choice of game tickets, appetizers, drink tickets, a Rivalry Renewed t-shirt, player meet and greets, and roundtable discussions, plus a chance to take part in a pregame shoot around with the players. It's the second annual Rivalry Renewed Silverstein Ice Centers Arena, July 28th. All the details at 610sports.com. We have the Atlantic League helping out Major League Baseball, right? Which
has been good.
They're working on some things. It may or may not come to fruition in Major League Baseball. Some rules changes, robot umpires.
Umpires,
stealing of first, what have you. We may find out. Maybe the XFL will help out the NFL in this same regard. Could that indeed be the case? That some of the, and maybe by accident, but some of the things we may consider gimmicky that the XFL will probably be willing to try or going to be willing to try coming up in their inaugural season could spill their way over into the NFL?
Ooh, I certainly hope so. So I'm going to run through a list of these for you.
Hang on, ESPN's tweet. Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs aren't in Kansas anymore having workouts, as that video has surfaced of them being on the beach.
Oh, yes.
So they're in Missouri? We're going to have that argument. Chiefs fans going to be all mad.
No, I
they never were in Kansas.
That's what I tweeted out. I quote tweeted. I said the Chiefs.
You're going to get yourself in trouble.
By who?
I'm saying ESPN.
Oh, ESPN. Yeah,
you're getting yourself in trouble.
Yeah, I tweeted out. Actually, they've never been in Kansas training before.
Yes.
It's an astute observation by you. So I'll give you some of these XFL rules, boys. All I want to know is, do you think they should carry these over into the NFL? Pretty simple, right?
All right, let's do it to it.
The XFL will be using a running clock, meaning the clock will not stop after incomplete passes or runs out of bounds. So pace of play a premium in the XFL as the running clock will be initiated.
I would still stop it after incomplete passes, but if you run out of bounds on a running play, keep it going.
I like the running clock, except for, 2 minutes left, whatever time, and maybe even further out, maybe say 4 minutes left, I don't know. But I've always felt like we're so consumed about that time savings late in the game in the second half.
Yeah.
Where you're just all willy-nilly in the first half.
Yeah, like, nobody cares in the first half.
Like, who cares? Well, why aren't you conserving time to score more points in the first half? Nobody pays any attention to that. I always felt it's stupid. So,
right.
Running clock is fine.
We waste time in the first half like we do with time on Amazon.
We only care about saving time at the end of the game.
I feel like 3 touchdowns up running clock should happen, Kind of like the way they do it in high school football. They just keep it going.
Is it 3 in high school football?
I think so. I'm not sure. No, I think it's more than that. I think it's more than that. Another play clock, or another clock item, the play clock, will actually be shorter in the XFL. The NFL uses 40. Well, in the XFL, we like to do it quicker. 25 seconds could be the XFL's play clock.
I'm good with that. NFL should do. I like that. More plays, man. I'm all about that. If you're going to, you know, stress offense like the Chiefs have over the last couple of years, hey, man, the more plays you can run, the more exciting it's going to be. Let's go for it.
I'll wait and see how many plays they don't get in the That's XFL.
Speaking of excitement, I think this could be pretty exciting. The three-point conversion after a touchdown, offenses will have the option of trying a scrimmage play from the 10-yard line. If it succeeds, it will be worth 3 points.
I like it.
Now, do you like it just because we have Patrick Mahomes?
That's correct.
Because I would probably normally hate this, but with Mahomes, you're like, yeah, let's give him some opportunity to score more points.
No, I like it. I think it's a fun idea. Anything that kind of makes the game more interesting and more exciting. I think this makes the game more exciting. Coaches will hate it.
Another coach killer, a three-point play.
I'm good.
This is an interesting little tweak on a rule. The XFL will allow multiple forward passes as long as they are behind the line of scrimmage. So if the quarterback is 7 yards deep, he could throw the ball 1 yard behind the line of scrimmage, a forward pass to a receiver who could then also throw a forward pass.
Yeah, why not? Yeah, I like it.
Sounds confusing as hell, to be honest with you.
Yeah. If there's more opportunities for Andy to drop stuff, then I'm cool. It's fine. Drop some double forward passes.
The XFL also looking to eliminate chewing up the clock as they're eliminating kneel downs to increase the potential for late game comebacks. The kneel down itself won't be actually completely gone away with. It just won't actually make any sense because the clock will stop after every play during the final 2 minutes of each half.
So they're getting rid of the kneel down.
Correct. Good. Well, you could still choose to do it if you like. It just won't accomplish what you're wanting it to.
Yeah, good. Nothing worse than the kneel down with 127 to go. Let's go. Play some football.
I guess.
I'm not really high on that either way.
I don't know if it's going to accomplish anything either way, but I mean, there's not enough kneel downs to really care. I mean, most of the time they're kneeling down, you didn't have a chance anyway.
Yeah, the game's over.
I feel like it, yeah.
This seems a bit crazy to me. This is the last one for you. The XFL will decide overtime games. There's been a lot of talk about how we should do this. The overtime games will be decided by an overtime shootout. Each team's offense and their defense will line up on opposite ends of the field and then alternate attempting 5 2-point conversions. So 44 players on the field at once. Both ends of the field, they're attempting 2-point conversions. The most 2-point conversions out of the 5 attempts wins the game.
So kind of like a soccer shootout.
Yeah.
Huh.
I do like that. I think that's pretty cool.
Seems like a giant cluster.
No, I think it's kind of cool, man. I think it's like a soccer shootout. You sit there, you watch one side, you watch the other, and it go fast. I think it's really cool.
I'll be interested to watch this one. Yeah. I mean, I favor the college overtime rules. I think they're a fun way to do it. But this, I'm willing to look. This feels like one that will never get to the NFL.
Take a peek.
This one feels like the longest shot to ever get in the NFL. But I'm willing to see what it looks like in the XFL. That looks like fun. So they may be crazy, or they may be helping out the NFL down the road. The XFL, we'll see. Another edition of Beers with the Boys. Coop Ale Works drops by the studio next.
Fesco in the morning.
Now for another edition of Beers with the Boys. It's powered by Standard Beverage. Coop Ale Works is with us in studio today. Laura Hyman dropping by once again. Laura, good to see you. It is the summer season, so we'll talk a little summer, but when you sat down, you said you're already thinking Oktoberfest.
Yeah, believe it or not, at the beginning of August is when we drop our Oktoberfest.
That's too early.
It's all about that shell space.
No, I understand, but everybody seems to do that now. Like, everybody can't wait for the fall to get here, and I'm just now enjoying the summertime, and everybody's like, all right, it's time for October beers. I'm like, no, it's not. Stop rushing everything so much. It feels like just yesterday we were doing October beers all over again, and now here we are, and you guys are getting ready to do that in a couple of weeks.
Now, Bob, you can't drink today?
I cannot drink today with the colon cleanse going on.
The colonoscopy coming tomorrow.
Right.
You're only on what, clear liquids?
That's right. I am on clear
basically liquid. Water.
Yes, liquids. I can have some
because normally
tea.
On a Friday, you have some clear liquids as well.
I do.
You can't have that clear liquid
today.
Tomorrow
I can.
But tomorrow you can. But today you cannot have.
No, nothing.
Like, did you ask? Like, Does clear liquid include a vodka?
Medical people don't get my sense of humor, Josh.
Okay.
They just don't understand.
So you're on a water diet.
Basically on a water diet, yeah.
And then you have to drink a weird bottle of something later
that'll... 6 o'clock tonight.
And your insides will go...
Yeah, not good.
But beer is not included.
I believe beer is included. Yeah, so cool. you guys can enjoy... Because we actually, the three of us sat around yesterday and debated whether or not beer was considered a clear liquid. And if I could have beer, and Brian's like, man, it's got hops and stuff. I'm like, all right, you're probably...
Laura's shaking her head. No,
it's an amber liquid.
It's not a clear liquid.
No, unfortunately, it's not. So I've got to sit here and just smell and enjoy. Cool. And you guys talk beer.
All right, what are we drinking today?
Right now, you have the Fly Me Away. It is our hazy IPA. It is our summer seasonal, and that beer came to be in existence last year. So it's pretty new to our family. It's done very well for us. Nice, juicy... tropical fruity. I get a lot of mango from it.
Ooh, that sounds really good, actually. Juicy, fruity, and mango.
It is, Bob.
I bet it is.
It is. It's actually one of the beers you'd really like, Bob.
It is? Okay, well, you know what? I'll take some of it home with me, and I'll have it tomorrow after the oscopy.
Rubbing it in on him today, aren't we?
I knew I brought extra fruit.
Yeah, that's why you brought some extra. I'll have one of those after
the oscopy. Are there other oscopies?
To celebrate.
Yeah, there are.
What other oscopies are there?
Lobotomoscopies.
That's not a thing.
That's not a thing either. Mm-mm. So the Flyaway IPA, this is a 7.6 as well.
It's deceivingly.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Yeah, it comes at you. You don't really realize how high it is just because it's a lot on the smoother side for an IPA. Hazies tend to be a little bit sweeter. They're not as aggressive. I've found a lot of people who are like, absolutely not. I will never drink an IPA. They take a couple samples of that and they end up enjoying it.
Are you still running into a lot of those people who will never drink an IPA?
Yeah,
you do.
It's very common.
It's like so stereotypical. Like, mm-hmm. You know, it's like, I'll never drink an IPA. Really, why? Because you had one bad one maybe 15 years ago when nobody had variations, you know?
I think for a while too, people, when they were trying IPAs, they were trying like the biggest, most aggressive ones available. Uh-huh. And that's just going to turn you off right away. Hops stick with your palate for a while. You can't really get that taste out of your mouth, so people have a negative attitude towards it.
What do you do to convince them otherwise, though? Like, what do you say? Like, I don't drink IPAs. What do you say? Well, why don't you just try it and see?
Yeah, or like, what don't you like about it? And I try and kind of match up the flavor profiles with what I have available to me and just go for that. And sometimes, not to be in this mindset, but I find that women are just like very afraid of them, or like a guy will be like, you won't like that, don't try it. But then I'm like, let her try it, let's see what she thinks. And then you have successes and you have failures in that, but I mean, that's what samplings are for.
It's totally getting over the impression of what you thought it was, mm-hmm, from the get-go.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Because yeah, you thought IPAs were extra hoppy,
right?
Bitter,
yeah, whatever. But the range of them are so wide varying. I guess that's probably a problem for the entire beer industry a little bit.
Absolutely,
right now, right?
Is the
name is associated with something that the style has taken on something else?
And yeah, there's just so many hot varietals anymore that you can get a range of flavor profiles. You can get bitter, you can get juicy, you can get tropical fruit. It's just, there's something for everyone. You just have to find what you enjoy.
Can you use the term IPA differently and not call it an IPA because of that negative connotation that seemingly a lot of people have towards that style of beer?
I feel like it's just about the descriptors you choose. Like, if you want to say something, you can make anything positive. It just depends the way that you decide to describe it. But you absolutely have to call it an IPA. But like this one, for example, is a hazy IPA. So with those, you're going to get a little bit more sweetness, a little more juiciness. It's not as necessarily dry on the back end like you're going to get from our big guy F5, which is just a total palate wrecker.
Mm-hmm. The F5 IPA from Coop Ale Works, Laura Hyman is in. Describe this one then. This one you said is a wrecker.
Yeah, it's just...
which the name, I mean, it's a picture of a tornado.
F5 tornado.
It should be a little bit of a wrecker, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Makes sense.
What do you mean by palate wrecker, though?
You're just going to be tasting that when you walk away. Like, after you've been drinking it, you're still going to have it on your palate for a while. We have a lot of dryness when you're finished drinking it. There is huge piney and grapefruit notes, too. So those are not the most pleasant to some people.
Yeah.
I enjoy it, but... there's people that hate it.
Who would like the palate wrecker? Like, who do you find drinking a lot of that beer?
I feel like a lot of younger people are starting to get into that style. And then, like, just OG craft beer drinkers, that's a pretty original West Coast style IPA. So it's true to that. And if you enjoy those things, people seek that.
Ryan just raised his hand. He's the OG.
I am a huge fan of F5, actually.
OG.
It is. I think palate wrecker is probably a good indication of what it is. Because it's so high in IBUs, like the bitterness that kind of hangs with you. You're right. Like those hops kind of stay with you. And there's really no way to, get that kind of flavor out of your mouth. So as you know, as I go to like breweries a lot, I'll actually make sure I go and kind of climb the ladder on IBUs and wait to get those higher IBU beers at the end because
you're pacing yourself.
Yeah. Well, it's not necessarily pacing myself because a higher IBU beer doesn't necessarily always indicate that it's a high ABV beer, but
Correct. It
just kind of ruins your taste palate for what you can experience in a very low ABV beer. I mean, you don't want to try this F5 and then try to switch over to a lager because you're not going to be able to taste anything in that lager.
Beer nerd over
wow,
here.
Wow, how
Who
about
knew?
That? I mean, my goodness, that's like that you just ran the right. gamut there, blew my mind. My goodness, Ryan.
I thought you were
wow.
over there pounding beers. You're like, yeah.
I wish I would have let Laura have headphones so she knew I was,
like,
I was talking about.
Right. This was like Ned on the moon landing. Yeah. All of a sudden, it's like, we just asked you one little question about the moon, dude. It wasn't like.
And you went in like, I'm now to that point, like, I never used to drink for the flavor. I used to drink for the buzz and things like that. And then Ryan, you just kind of put that into perspective. If you're going to drink this, you don't want to drink anything afterwards because mm-hmm. you won't be able to taste anything else. Now, if you're just going out and drinking and you don't care what anything tastes like, then by all means, go ahead and do it. But he's saying that should be the last beer of the night because you'll have that flavor kind of carry with you through the evening.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like, too, sometimes IPAs, if they're really bitter like that, people tend to pace themselves a little bit better.
Sure.
So they're not out there just throwing them back. They're kind of taking it easy.
Well, that's a situation for you guys who are trying to sell more beer, though. You know,
right?
You know, do you want them to pace themselves? Mm-hmm. You know, like you have you drink a six pack every night. You know,
yeah, exactly.
And the third beer you have in with us today, the Saturday Siren.
Yeah, this is my personal favorite year-round beer that we make. It is a double dry hopped pilsner. It's just basically, I would say it is a pilsner that drinks like a session IPA. It's got that nice earthy herbal, a little bit of grapefruit, citrus flavor to it.
Grapefruit. Mm. I'm trying to see. When you say this is what it should taste like, I always try to, but sometimes I don't.
But it doesn't have to. That's like that's right? not defined.
I don't, yeah, I don't.
Your palate's different than mine, so you're going to pick up different notes too. But it should have some type of citrus to it.
Definitely citrus. I don't know about grapefruit.
It's kind of like a wine funny. When people tell you, you should taste notes of tobacco and chocolate.
Yeah.
I like when you say
tennis ball.
I like though when you say you should. Yeah.
Have you ever told somebody ball. Something that isn't in there to see if they would
see
go? Oh yeah,
taste
it.
I probably
taste
would
that.
Though if you said, well, it's got a hint of barbed wire.
Number five.
Yeah, I could taste it. It's a little spike in
have
there.
Have you done that? You have done that. Right? You've made
can really taste the Barbasol.
You just get kind of an autopilot sometimes, and you forget. Like at these huge festivals, you're just like. Oh, man, I don't want to say the same thing over and over again.
Yeah, here we have notes of zoysia. Can you taste the zoysia? Oh, I can. I definitely get the notes of zoysia in that. You're like, what an idiot.
It's definitely got some artificial turf in there somewhere. You're like, oh, sure.
Definitely
I can taste that.
Dirt.
Are these available on both sides of the state line?
They absolutely are.
So the flyaway and the can artwork for all of the beers from Coupe Ale Works is really cool, too.
Yeah, and they look nice together. They're just all bright, very attention-grabbing. Can colors.
This one does look like a set. It looks like a set. Uh-huh. Nice little set.
Is it making it its way out of Oklahoma now that you can actually sell real beer down in Oklahoma?
So that changed in October.
Right. Last time you were in, there was really harsh.
Like Kansas changed too.
Beer rules.
So.
Yeah.
Oklahoma.
Kansas was April. October was Oklahoma. So liquor stores can refrigerate beer up to, I believe, 9% alcohol when it was only 4%. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of places didn't refrigerate or didn't even have refrigeration. And that has all started to change.
And that was. Just
that was in 2018.
Liquor laws are just strange.
Wild.
So you could have cold beer of a lower alcohol, mm-hmm. but the higher alcohol stuff you had to pick up warm and cool yourself.
Yeah.
So that you wouldn't, I
pound
guess,
it on the
drink, drink it in the car.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Liquor
blue laws.
Strange. All right. Oktoberfest is coming, huh?
August. Yeah. The beginning of the month. We do a big Oktoberfest at the Oklahoma City where we're at. The first weekend of August, and so then after that first weekend, it can be available for sale.
Start seeing them in early August.
Yes.
The calendar will turn. Laura Hyman from Coupe Ale Works joining us once again. Good to see you. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
It is Beers of the Boys powered by Standard Beverage and Coupe Ale Works with us. The segment after Beers of the Boys, yet unnamed, Bob might have the upper hand in today's edition. Find out next.
Fesco in the morning.
It's
It's your favorite segment and maybe your least favorite segment, one or the other. It is a segment after Beers with the Boys, where we challenge ourselves to play a game that's yet unnamed.
I really like the name Buzzed Words.
I do too. I like Buzzed Words. Well,
our friend Laura Hyman did from Coop Ale Works said, why don't you call it Thinking While Drinking?
It's not a bad
That's pretty
either.
Good. That's pretty good, Laura. That's pretty good, Laura.
But Bob has a huge advantage today because he's not drinking while Ryan and I have been pounding beers. So Vesco may waltz away with this one.
Or
today.
Not.
We'll see.
Y'all know how this game works. It's pretty simple. You just shoot us categories on
the
text line.
And the reason
line.
I'm not drinking, I didn't give up alcohol or anything like that. Let's not get carried away.
Let's not go down that road. Tell the people you're having something put in your butt.
Right. I'm having fiber optics put in my ass tomorrow. I'm having a colonoscopy. Very nervous about that. So I've started the cleanse, and I can't have anything. So I couldn't have some beer today. But we're going to Oklahoma City. My parents are actually flying in to drive to Oklahoma City to meet Billy Coons. So maybe we'll go over to Coop
Ale Works. That's good. So the game's pretty simple. All you got to do is shoot us categories on the text line. I'll pick a category. We go around the circle. Whoever gets stumped in the category gets buzzed. Two strikes and you're out in the winner.
Gets buzzed.
We're already buzzed a little bit. I got a really important meeting, too.
No, you don't.
I do. I've got.
We all do.
I've got several important meetings to go to this afternoon.
Right, we have a bunch of meetings today. This is
and a doctor's
idea.
Appointment a little bit later
we
as well.
We have meetings. I wouldn't call them important.
Very important meetings.
I just need something to fill the day while I'm fasting. So the more meetings, the better.
Well, I think you running to the toilet is going to be.
That doesn't start till later tonight, though.
Will you call me? Can we FaceTime while you're doing it?
No.
Come on, man.
You want me to FaceTime the procedure tomorrow? We could.
I want you to FaceTime while you're evacing.
No. Yeah, don't stray too far tonight. Would be the suggestion.
The first Hang. Category things Bob has had in his butt. No, we're not going there.
How do we know who gets buzzed in that one?
Yeah, that's true.
That's true.
Yeah,
I think Bob's the only one that really system. Knows. We'll start it off with Tom Hanks movies. Bob, go.
Wow. Saving Private Ryan.
Apollo 13.
Ooh, Castaway.
Big.
Bosom Buddies is not a movie.
Could have gone Sleepless in Seattle.
Sure.
Philadelphia.
Yeah. The Sully one.
Yeah.
All right. What? Sorry, I gave you guys.
I think that's Sully, isn't it?
Sully. It's called Sully. It was Sully, wasn't it?
No.
Go ahead and drink
it's
that
called
beer.
On the Waterfront, I think.
No, it's called Sully.
Was the movie called Sully?
It's called Sully, you idiots.
I don't think it was.
On the Waterfront. Bob's even worse at helping us in this game when he hasn't had a beer.
I like this get off my lawn things that Josh says.
Wow.
There would be nobody to get buzzed. So.
816 suggests car parts. Kling, you got stumped last. You get to go first. Go.
Carburetor.
Ooh, that's a good one. Caliper.
Dipstick.
Oil filter.
You're a dipstick. Windshield wiper.
Chassis.
Air filter.
You just got to name filters.
I'm out of filters, so.
Brake pads.
I will say shocks.
Ignition.
Struts.
Key.
Hubcaps.
Tires.
Wheels.
Now we're getting dicey, aren't we? Gear shifter.
Hood.
Ashtray.
No, they don't put ashtrays in cars anymore.
Oh.
Can we buzz them on that? We're
yeah,
all
I
agreeing
think so.
On
I
that?
Think so,
yeah, they
yeah.
don't put... Yeah. I don't put that in there.
I don't want guy to tell me my car's got an ashtray and we don't
yeah,
want
I understand if your car was built in like 76.
The good old days.
God, some of these I just can't read. You guys have get your minds out of the gutter. Candy bars. Bob,
oh,
you got
no.
buzzed first. You go.
Whatchamacallit.
This is a great candy bar.
Hershey.
How about the 100 grand bar?
Hershey with almonds.
Three Musketeers.
Mr. Good Bar.
Crackle.
Twix.
Take five.
Kit Kat.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
That is not a candy bar. That is not a candy bar, right? We can agree that the peanut butter cup is not,
yeah,
a, bar.
It's not a bar. Probably.
It's a cup.
It's a cup.
Probably not. I'll go back to drink.
I mean, what other cups are available? They have the Valo milk.
The Valo milks are terrible, though.
It's just marshmallow inside there.
Bit of honey.
Oh, yeah. That's not a candy bar either. The bit of honey is not a candy bar.
It's a candy.
That is not. Oh, man. How about, goodness
so I'm out.
Gracious. Yeah, you're gone.
I'm out. All right.
Start drinking. You're fine. Breeds of dogs.
Ooh, river.
I will get it going. Cocker spaniel.
Pug.
Labradoodle.
Poodle.
Shih tzu.
Bulldogs.
You get bonus for shih tzu.
Labrador. All of them. The golden blacks, retriever. The golden, all that. Basset hound.
A wiener dog.
Malamute, isn't that?
Yes,
isn't that
it is.
A dog?
Yes.
Is that a dog?
Yep.
The husky.
The dachshund.
That's Dachshund hound. Dude.
That's not. It's a dachshund.
But how's that different from a wiener dog?
Did he say wiener dog?
I did.
Yeah.
Oh, damn it.
Well, actually.
All right,
wiener
Bob.
Dog is the dachshund.
This is down to it. I'm looking for a good one that I can dominate.
Bob and Ryan both tied at one. Yeah, it's like a category. Like, I think I got you.
Let me find one I can get here. How about
different types of beers you chugged? Go.
Cuts of beef.
Oh, yeah.
Go.
Ribeye.
Casey Strip.
Filet.
Bob's locked in.
The T-bone.
New York strip.
God, he is. Look at him.
He is.
The like tenderloin.
Ground.
Staring at
ground beef is not a cut, but I'm going to give it to you. How about the chuck roast?
A brisket.
The rib? There's ribs. Beef ribs are a thing.
No, not a cut of meat.
Absolutely is a cut of meat.
Okay, fine. I will go.
Fine, I'll buzz myself. You win. You're going to have something inserted in your rectum later.
I focus in this one today.
I was going to go with barbacoa.
Someone says a Malamute is a husky, so technically I would have
won. No, they're
won,
separate. But. They're different breeds.
Are they?
Yep.
I trust the text line implicitly.
Now,
anything the text line tells me.
I wanted a Malamute, but they grow like a horse.
Anything the text line tells me, I'm going to believe.
Malamute is different than a husky.
100% today.
That is different than a husky.
It's time for the big finish.
Wait a minute! What's happening to my special purpose?
I'll have what she's having.
Brought to you by EverNewClinics.com.
Big finish. Hopefully is another edition coming up sometime after 11 o'clock. The On Deck Show with Cody coming up at 11.
Hopefully it's already occurred.
We need another edition of Ned on the Moon. This is the 50th anniversary of the moon landing. Ned, for two straight days, has been educating us on the moon. And really educating Cody on the moon.
He likes Cody.
D63, Cody, this is your moon lesson for the day. And it's with all of them. Okay. But we'll go with Apollo 11. P63 is the program 63, which is the PDI, power descent initiation. So when they get to a point where they're going to go PDI, right, that's where program 63 starts. And they hit their engines and they burn and they slow down and they drop in orbit, right? Until it's usually a 9-minute burn until they get within 2,500 feet of the ground, and then P-64 kicks in. They're flying like this, window down. P-64 kicks in, and they go upright, right? And then they land, they get to P-66, which is when they land, right? Okay. Now, the problem was, when they pitched over P-64, Neil Armstrong saw that they were gonna land in a football stadium crater full of boulders. So he knew at that point that he had four options, right? Couldn't land in the crater. So he had to either peel right, peel left, way back and land short, or hit the gas and land long. The easiest thing for him to do was hit the gas and land long, right? So when he hit the gas, it burned up valuable fuel. They have a thing called a quantity light. When the quantity light comes on, that's 60 seconds of fuel left. Mandatory abort at the end of 60 seconds. Right? It'll shoot you off. When Neil Armstrong hit the ground, they had 23 seconds of fuel left and never panicked.
Never panicked. Ned's moon lessons.
Well,
could this be a thing?
How many times do you think Ned's reenacted the moon landing inside of a refrigerator box?
A lot.
Has he put on like the baseball helmet instead
just
of
like
the
shaking the whole box
instead of the astronaut helmet?
If those guys never
initiate P66.
If those guys never landed on the moon, the Royals never would have won the World Series. Check out the podcast in the 8 o'clock hour the 6 o'clock hour.
No, for you
the
can't check that out. We lost.
Oh, we lost the six.
We
o'clock.
Lost that.
Do we have the 8 o'clock
hour? We have the 8 o'clock hour. That's okay. All you get today. You
much
get
like the moon landing, hour. Can we recreate?
We can. In a sound stage in LA, we could recreate those 2 hours.
Are we going to broadcast my colonoscopy live tomorrow?
If you'll allow it.
If you'll allow it,
you come in whenever you're available tomorrow.
All right.
There's a lot of people on text line debating whether or not you will actually be unconscious during this.
Yes, you're out for this.
You're out for this. Yes, God.
Coming up on Show and Vern, short show, so two chances to win tickets, rivalry renewed, and the MVP golf card coming up at the 10 o'clock hour. And Ron's concern about Frank Clark. Show and Vern, come your way next. You're on 610 Sports Radio.
Talk to you later.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.